The Great Train Robbery, Disc 5.
Chapter 26. Crossing the Mary Blaine Scrub. The distinction between base avarice and honest ambition may be exceeding fine, warned the Reverend Noel Blackwell in his 1853 treatise On the Moral Improvement of the Human Race. No one knew the truth of his words better than Pierce, who arranged his next meeting at the Casino de Venise in Windmill Street. This was a large and lively dance hall, brightly lit by myriad gas lamps. Young men spun and wheeled girls, colourfully dressed and gay in their manner. Indeed, the total impression was one of fashionable splendour, which belied a reputation as a wicked and notorious place of assignation for whores and their clientele. Pierce went directly to the bar, where a burly man in a blue uniform with silver lapel markings sat hunched over a drink. The man appeared distinctly uncomfortable in the casino. "Have you been here before?" Pierce asked. The man turned. "You Mr. Sims?" "That's right." The burly man looked around the room at the women, the finery, the bright lights. "No," he said. "Never been before." "Lively, don't you think?" The man shrugged. "Bit above me," he said finally, and turned back to stare at his glass. "And expensive," Pierce said. The man raised his drink. "2 shillings a daffy? Aye, it's expensive." "Let me buy you another," Pierce said, raising a grey-gloved hand to beckon the bartender. "Where do you live, Mr. Burgess?"
"I've got a room in Mornsby Road," the burly man said.
"I hear the air is bad there."
Burgess shrugged. "It'll do."
"You married?"
"Aye."
The bartender came and Pierce indicated 2 more drinks.
"What's your wife do?" "She sews."
Burgess showed a flash of impatience.
"What's this all about, then?"
"Just a little conversation," Pierce said, "to see if you want to make more money."
"Only a fool doesn't," Burgess said shortly.
"You work the Mary Blaine," Pierce said. Burgess, with still more impatience, nodded and flicked the silver S.E.R. letters on his collar, the insignia of the South Eastern Railway. Pierce was not asking these questions to obtain information. He already knew a good deal about Richard Burgess, a Mary Lane scrub or guard on the railway. He knew where Burgess lived. He knew what his wife did. He knew that he had 2 children, aged 2 and 4, and knew that the 4-year-old was sickly and needed the frequent attentions of a doctor, which Burgess and his wife could not afford.